What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Breaking Blue Podcast at Breaking Blue Pod. I'm Nolan Fleming. I got Nolan UKY27, joined by Wyatt Huff, Mr. Wildcat Wave himself, at Wildcat underscore Wave. Wyatt, how you doing? Pretty long weekend for me, at least. Pretty long weekend for you, too, I reckon. I feel like shit. Sick as crap. I'm on DayQuil. Yeah. If it were like, I'm on DayQuil as if it were going out of style.
It feels like you've been on the DayQuil for over a week.
I know. I feel
now.
Like I've been on it for, I feel like I'm like a, you know, like a 1980s Wall Street guy, but, you know, replacing the cocaine with the DayQuil. So, either way, I mean, I feel a little bit better. I don't know. How you doing? You're back in, wherever you're at. McLean County?
Yeah, doing better. Might actually be going to Atlanta for St. John, so there's that.
Oh, you did get that worked out.
Possibly.
Shout out to the person that will go unnamed.
But yeah. It's like Cats are back winning. They look totally different on Saturday than they have been. And they can't complain.
We can get into that here in a second. I don't know. We could get into that, like the game itself in a bit, but I want to say Indiana fans right there. Luckily we're not recording right now. Like we're not live. This is what I feel about you. Some of the biggest jerks I've ever met in my life. Absolute douchebags. And they still talk crap when they're down 16 with 10 seconds left. Did you see? So first of all, we were close to each other at the game, right?
Yeah.
At the very top of the section, right next to you pretty much. Did you see the guy that was getting like waved off and all that stuff, and he kept talking his crap as he walked down the stairs and everything, and kept leaving. And they were losing by like 20 at that point, right?
Yeah, I saw it. And honestly, you said that you dealt with all those Indiana fans. It felt like the uppers were full of douchebag Indiana fans.
They were. I sat it's right next insane. To them.
It's insane because there was a crowd of them. Right next to the media, and they were like standing on top of the bleachers with their candy striped hats, and like it's disgusting to look at.
And like I'm from where we're from, I talked about it yesterday, and we talked about it a couple weeks ago. Where we're from, that rivalry is still a big thing.
Oh,
and I
gosh,
swear man. They're all that way outside of the games too. They're all that way. In the Hyatt, I've never seen any ruder people in my life. They still kept talking about Heisman Doza. First of all, you're a football school now. Congratulations. Your legacy's dead as a basketball program. So you can kiss my ass, and you can kiss every other Kentucky fan's ass, too, for all I care, and kiss Wyatt Huff's ass because you suck now. Bobby Knight carried your program. Well, this is going to be an explicit episode, apparently. Sorry about that, Wyatt.
No, that's perfectly fine. Indiana fans deserve it.
So, either way, your program's been dead since Bobby Knight. Mike Davis had you 1 year in 2002, and he sucked too. Kelvin Sampson cheated for you, ruined your program. Tom Crean sucked. Archie Miller sucked. And Darian DeVries, just like Archie Miller and Mike Woodson, is going to suck. So, have fun with that. When his son leaves, you're going to be right where you were with Archie. You're going to be 17 and 14 on a yearly basis. You're never making the tournament. You're definitely not making the second weekend, and there will be a cold day in hell before you win a national title, and it'll be an even colder day in hell before you get anybody drafted to the NBA. So have fun with that. We're going to go be competitive in basketball unlike you. We're not at your standard as a program, and we own you still. So,
yeah, I'm going along with that. And like when I was previewing the game, I did a bunch of history checks on Indiana. And it was worse than I thought. Like, their relevancy run was short.
When the three-point line became a thing, it ended for them.
And it is bad. It is bad. Like, even, I'm not even kidding. Like, I thought every year they had Bobby Knight was great because I wasn't alive then. But I look back, his last 6 years ended in a first or second round loss.
Yeah. But he was insane. So awesome. And
yeah, and they have
a player. That happened too. And
I also put this in the Things to Know article Saturday morning. They haven't had anything better than a Sweet 16 since 2002. It's like they're
really?
The king of Sweet 16s. And even that, it's either that or a first round loss. It's awful. It's awful.
That's true. Like I said, every
coach they've had hasn't gone through their time without a first or second round loss.
but they're great.
Yeah.
They're a great program. They're just blue blood, right?
I mean, it is awful. I was actually sitting there laughing. And I think that was the most fun I've ever had previewing a game. Because I loved every second of it.
I thought the win was really fun. I thought it was hilarious. They thought at the end of the first half they were talking the crap, thought they owned the building and all that. And then they got absolutely wrecked in the second half. I think we only allowed 21 points.
Yeah.
21 points in the second half. I know they keep trying to say, well, if Lamar Wilkerson played, Lamar Wilkerson didn't do crap in the second half either. So you can miss me on that. No. He was horrible in the second half. He got locked down.
I'll say this to stop fouling us. They're bad.
There were even fouls that they didn't call. They probably could have doubled the foul calls in both halves on them. They could have had 20, realistically. And still they had like 12, I think, in the first half and 12 or 13 in the second. So a horrible day for them in the second half. We played horrible in the first half. I thought the first half was just terrible basketball in general.
It was kind of weird, and it brought me back to that Louisville game where I think we talked about this, where that's when I first realized this team cannot operate an offense without Jalen Hall on the floor. And that still kind of scares me a little bit, which is like he can't play 40 minutes a game. No. So he's gonna have to play 35 or close to that. And
Lowe and Diabate, I think both have to.
Yeah. And we'll see how far that goes. Like, they're going to be tired.
I don't know. I think we underrated how important Mo Diabate is for this team.
Yeah.
We really underrated his role. I admit I was wrong. I thought there could have been a world where he came off the bench and was effective. Yeah. I was
wrong. You weren't the only one. I didn't go quite to that level, but I was more so like, I think he might clog up the offense a little bit, but turns out it's low. Helps open things up.
Well, I mean, I listened to the Pope show today, too. I know you did, obviously. Sounds like he's accepted that this team doesn't have the identity he thought and that we're just changing up what this team's identity is going to be. That's what it sounds like to me. I think we're going to be a lot more defensive-oriented.
That's one thing, and he's still holding on to he thinks this team can be an elite shooting team.
Well, if
he thinks the shooting numbers and practice can translate over.
No, just stop. Just stop. Just stop with it. We won hitting threes. I mean, I think though, like, look at Houston. I mean, we're kind of looking like them last year right now. Yeah. And I'm not saying we're going to be as good as them. We're not going to be, but we do look a little bit like that. But
who would have thought a Pope team would do that?
I mean, kind of did when we brought this group in, weirdly, but I didn't think it was going to be as sloppy. But Houston in the first few weeks, if you remember last year, they were like 5-3 to start the year. They were horrible. And then they went on that huge win streak. Obviously, national runner-up, went all the way to the title game. Probably should have won the title, really. But I don't think this team is to that level. I'm not trying to say that. But we take on about the same identity as that Houston team did right now. I mean, we're very defensive-oriented. It's not even funny. Especially if we go off of what we did against Indiana in the second half, which I think we can.
Yeah.
Mo Diabate is going to be the anchor for this team. It's pretty clear. That lineup, what do you think about that lineup? Jalen Lowe, I think it was Lowe, Owe, Cam Williams, which I thought was interesting at the three. Diabate, and then Garrison, and then Marino didn't even play much in the second half. And I wasn't opposed to that with how the game went for Garrison.
Yeah, honestly, I'm opposed. I'd rather have Chandler in at the three, but Cam showed some things in
it. Probably also rather, to be honest. Yeah. Him or Aberdeen.
I just don't think it fits well in most games, but that game, it kind of – I think they did a real good job of adjusting more than they have been. Because think about it. You know how he likes to have his data and stuff like that, and it hasn't gone well, but it did last night. And I think most of that probably stems from the effort and intensity in the game than actually more of skill. Because I do think this team has always had a big, really high defensive ceiling, but it all came down to effort.
Yeah, I don't think – I never really especially after the maybe not for the Louisville game, but after the Michigan State game, I think is when I definitely lowered the ceiling on offense, especially against a good team. So against Louisville, we always forget how we looked really good offensively in that game, and we scored like 89 in that.
It's
game.
Weird, and that, like I said, like there was a good portion of that game where when Lowell was out, and then he quickly had to come back in and save the offense. But that's one thing where I'm like, it's mostly a positive, but it's also like, I mean, he's still coming off a shoulder injury, and he's going to have to keep carrying this big load on his back and carry us all the way.
And that gigantic brace, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. He's going to keep that on, by the way.
It's like in wrestling, like in WWE, when they'll say that brace is made of titanium steel. And it's like, it looks the part. It's not, obviously, but still. I'm not a doctor, but I assume that's not made of titanium.
I think we'll get to the point where it's going to be like Wilmot Butler, and he's going to have surgery.
Well, yeah, he's going to have surgery. We know that already, but like, yeah, not a doctor. But I can't assume that you have that many shoulder injuries without anything, and you just go without surgery for the rest of your
life. But who would have thought having a true point guard would change your team like that? Crazy.
Okay, look, I mean, for real, though, like next year with the roster building, we can't do this whole, we're going to bring a combo guard in to be the backup, and we're going to rotate over.
No.
Don't do that. For the love of God, stop doing that. We did it last year. We did it this year, and it has kind of so far killed both of those seasons. Don't do that again. Go get a pure – I don't care. I don't care if they were a backup at Poop State, if they were a backup at freaking Owensboro Community Technical College. I don't care where they were back up. Go get them. Go get them to handle the ball and pass it. They don't even have to score, but like 5 points a game.
Yeah, I agree.
Like wherever they're at.
Last year, Kirk Creasa wasn't a scoring threat. He was a guy that came in and looked for his teammates. I know you probably remember how many times he had a wide open layup and he would just pass it out to the three.
And it worked. We got the three out of it.
Yeah.
Him and Jackson Robinson, we forget, had a pretty good connection.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think Pope really screwed up with the roster construction. And now he's just trying to fit with what he has. It all comes down to me from this offseason when he was like, we've got to improve on athleticism and defense. And then I think he went too heavy on that. And then now you have like two or three shooters that aren't really showing up. And even if they do show up, I don't know if they can make that much of a difference because they're still coming off the bench. But
Tell me though, here real quick, not real quick. I mean, it's whatever you want. Tell me if I'm overreacting here. If Kentucky lost on Saturday, I was in that building, you were in that building, you heard what it sounded like in the first half at halftime, or close to halftime and at halftime. I feel like for a majority of the fan base, patience would have been run out almost with the Pope era. If not that, it was going to be brutally thin. What do you think about that? Because, I mean, we had a lot – I don't want to underrate how many boos. There were quite a few boos.
Yeah. I know you texted me and was like, I've heard of a lot of if we lose.
I did, leading up to that game,
And it's like, and we were, I was texting you, I was like, I'm so nervous, I can't take it. And then I was like, man, this arena's dead. It's like everybody's on pins and needles waiting to, anticipating to see what's going to happen. Because we had no clue what team was going to show up. We were also scared because it's Indiana. And they're never going to shut up if they win.
No, because that'd be like the best thing to ever happen to their program.
Yeah, I think that would play a big part in it. And everybody was just scared.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me, sorry. No, I agree. I think the way the first half looked was horrible, though. I mean, I think it was just an idea of the product of basketball we were getting.
No, there were small boos up there where we were.
Yes. Hell, it got loud at a point.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, I mean, it's warranted.
I thought it was very warranted. I mean, I don't think.
What was weird is that,
acceptable.
What was weird is I thought the effort was there the whole game.
It's
just the execution in the first half was so bad.
I did too. I don't know if they showed it on camera or not. Brandon Garrison played well, but the first minute I thought he was horrible. Yeah. But you, I don't know if you saw it. Pope ripped him apart at one point again. Yeah, he ripped him apart on the sideline, and then that's kind of whenever he started, you know. Pope was way more into it than usual. And by the way, I do want to note, and I've said it before, it should not be a big deal when your head coach yells at people.
Oh, it shouldn't.
Should be kind of an indictment on him, but it should not be a big deal when your head coach yells at people. Your head coach should be screaming and screaming and screaming at people, especially at Kentucky. Like,
I think we talked about this till we were blue in the face.
I'm not saying verbally abuse people, but I'm just saying, like, when you get intense in a game, I mean, it shouldn't be a big deal.
Your head coach is supposed to be the one yelling. Like, if your head coach is just sitting there silent, like, he's not going to get anything out of the players.
At one point, the crowd fit off of it, remember?
Yeah.
There's the first stretch where they got really loud. You saw Brandon Garrison sort of pumping them up, and then you saw, like, Pope, like, doing a come on, let's go, or whatever, to the crowd, and started screaming and all this and acting crazy. The crowd fit off of it.
Yeah, they did.
Again, though, it shouldn't be a big deal that your head coach yells at somebody.
Yeah, and the crazy part is, if this was Gonzaga, they would have folded at halftime and just been like, you know what? The fans are booing. We don't want to respond. But heck, I think that whole week leading up to Saturday was, I think he kicked their ass so much in practice.
That, I hope so.
That like it kind of sent a message, and not only with what he did with BG, but setting low and Cam like that.
I think there's a good chance that that was a turning point for Garrison. Sometimes I'm referencing Bobby Knight, but have you ever heard him say have you ever heard him in the press conference where he said, "Here's my method, ass meat bench"? It's a good one. It's a good one because that's what happened to him. It's got a good point. I mean, I think
we're honestly kind of figuring this out because you remember in the preseason that I think that media practice, but he also did it at Pro Day where he had him doing the towel sprints and up the stairs and Jelovic up the stairs. I think it got to a point where it was like, you know what? They probably like doing that. So why don't I just bench them and keep them away from doing what they love?
I
think he sort of figured that out.
Some guys need to be screamed at. I think maybe Garrison responds better to stuff like that, to intense coaching, than he does to, hey, man, we'll get them next time. Hey, guys, good work. Good work. The amount of times that I swear, like, I can read lips pretty well, I will admit. The amount of times I've ever seen that man on broadcast go, good job, good work, good work. I swear, if I had a nickel for it, I'd be almost rich by now. I mean, but again, your head coach can say that sometimes. But
gosh.
It shouldn't be a big deal when they yell.
Yeah, I'm just happy he's showing the side. And people have actually been on Twitter like, I didn't know Pope had that in him, and like,
hey, which is getting rough.
And like, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Real quick, former Kentucky player Bam Adebayo and his girlfriend, you know, Aja Wilson, right?
Yeah.
Announced that they are having a baby together.
I just saw something like that the other day.
Mark Pope, go ahead and call and give a D1.
There we go.
Baby.
Congrats to Bam.
Or Kenny Brooks, one of the two. Either way,
go.
Regardless. Yeah. That's going to be an incredible athlete, more than likely. Imagine that, dude. No, really, real quick. You have the genetics of those two. What are you doing? What sport are you playing? Are you playing basketball? But there's something to be said that you could go to another sport with that and be pretty successful. I mean, football is a big one.
I'm all in. Yeah, but
speed.
I mean,
speed and athleticism, bro.
To have that height, though, you see kids all growing up and like you're at the same high school as you, and you're like, man, you're tall. Why didn't you play basketball? That's the first thing people go to.
How about
like when you're that tall, you got to play either wide receiver or basketball. But
how about being told that you should be playing on the offensive line? You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's bad. That's bad.
Yeah.
I'm glad I never got that.
I probably did. Yeah, I definitely did.
Really?
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. I was a little bit bigger. I gotta admit. I don't think I would have been worth the crap, but still. Who are famous athletes though who've had successful athlete kids? Don't say Bronny, because it's not Bronny.
No. I mean Bryce.
My friend Jacob's sitting here and he's trying to say Bronny. Jacob, who is it? You think it's Bronny?
In a way.
How would it be Bronny? Give an argument. Come on. Can't fold if you're going to be a doctor. You got to know how to talk to people. Let's go.
I don't have one.
I really don't. You like Bronny?
He's a fraud.
I don't have one either, really.
I mean, it's not Marcus Jordan.
Well, you know what? I guess Steph Curry.
His kid?
Dell.
To my Dell. Yeah, Dell. Yeah, ooh, that's a good one. See, Dell. Steph Curry is the rare one where he's better than his dad. That's very rare.
I
mean, Dell was good, but he obviously wasn't Steph Curry.
Speaking of Steph, I saw something yesterday that kind of like, he kind of gave away a little bit of how he does his tricks. And he was like, I have God-given wrist snap ability. And on
that
his
would
trick
make sense because if you
do
see
trick shots, you can see his wrists kind of turn.
I feel like I'd heard that before because I've always thought that it did look weird because just unnaturally perfect, right? Unnaturally perfect.
It was unbelievable. The one I saw yesterday was like pregame, and he was literally all the way at the other end of the court and kind of angled it to where it could turn and go right in the hoop. It was wild. It was never a straight shot. It always curved.
I'm trying to think, who was there's football ones. I mean, obviously the Mannings. You got the Mannings, right? Not Arch. He sucks. He's terrible. But obviously Eli and Peyton, both Hall of Famers. Baseball, you got the Griffies. Ken Sr. and Ken Jr. Man.
Hey, Jeff Shepard.
Yeah, but NBA, I mean, Reed's like 10,000 times better than Jeff ever was in the NBA. Yeah. Reed Shepard's way better than Jeff Shepard was in the NBA.
Man, I must be good at thinking of son. I must be good at thinking of sons being better than their dads.
I know, really. You've named two. You've probably named the main two that I could think of that were like better. It's Reed Shepard and Steph Curry.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, probably the Boozers. Let's just be honest. We're heading down that path. Cam Boozer's going to be better than his dad ever thought of being.
Yep. Rajon Rondo's kid is. Really
he's in good eighth too. Grade, though. He's but, in eighth grade.
Nah. I'll give him that.
He's in eighth grade. Rajon Rondo is a Hall of Famer. His kid's in eighth grade. Come on.
Yeah.
His kid's younger than my sister. I mean, like.
No, I wasn't saying it would be better, but I was like, I think it'll be really good.
How about that? But, think of how old me and you are. That kid's in eighth grade, and we would have been like in middle school when he was born. No, we wouldn't have been in middle school. Oh, my God. What am I thinking? Either way, congratulations to us. Who are others? There's more out there. There's not a lot, but there's more like father sons that were at least serviceable. Shaq's
Bruce
son
Brown,
really did
Bruce
not
Brown turn Jr.
Out. Bruce Brown Jr. Bruce,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm Gary not going to finish it for yet. Gary Payton III. Mm-hmm. I mean, he had a good career. Yeah. He's still in the league too, isn't he?
Yeah. Is he still with the Warriors?
Thought so. Tim Hardaway Jr., speaking of.
Wow. Man.
That's been a while, too. Tim Hardaway Jr. is, like, old now. I remember watching him at college, like, 13 years ago. Like, that's been a long time for him. Any more in the Kentucky end, though? I mean, we don't really have a lot. I mean, I guess just the Shepherds, really, for us.
No, I don't think so.
I mean, Cameron Mills, I know his dad played here, but still.
Yeah.
Either way.
Wasn't there one on – oh, my gosh, I'm going blank. There was one that played for Georgia. Like a couple years – I don't know. I can't think of his name. But I remember them talking about Abdul Rahim, I think. I'm pretty sure.
I mean, Amir Abdul Rahim was a coach, but he passed away, you know, last year.
Because it must be. I'm almost positive.
Man,
there was a father son duo like that.
I don't know. We're getting really off topic now, aren't we?
But yeah, we got
what else to say? I think we've kind of hit the nail on the head, really, with that game.
I think this team's identity is obviously on the defensive end.
I just don't know that this game for me is like. It's still a lot of the same old stuff. It's just that they won and found a way to win by suffering.
I think a lot of it is like Indiana only has one powerful win against a Penn State team that's like 130 on KenPom and like terrible in the net.
To be fair though, they scored 113 on Penn State, who took Michigan State down to the wire.
Yeah, I saw that.
And we held them to 60. Mar Wilkerson scored 44, and we held him to 15.
That was good. That was good. And honestly, I know you kind of took shots at it, but and when we first started about Lamar Wilkerson not playing much in the second half, but it's true. Like once he went out, their offense could not do anything at all.
I hate that excuse every time it's used. If such and such wasn't in foul trouble, they would have won. Guess what?
No, the other team. I'm not saying that.
No, I know what you mean, but still, my point is the other team notices that they're not playing, and they take advantage of the moment, and they abuse the lineup that's on the court because your best player's off, and then they take advantage of it and they win. That's how it works.
My thing is, it was like if we can use the low excuse of like, man, we really miss low. Like, they probably missed Wilkerson in the second half. Like, he's such a big chunk of their scoring that if you take that away, then you're not going to get much from your team.
Yeah, I agree. And that's why I've told you even, like, last year that I don't like the injury excuse a lot either.
Yeah.
I just don't love it because it's schematically.
It's still on Pope to get his guys creating
exactly.
Offense.
And that's where it was going to get a
backup point guards. Like, I had so much confidence in Denzel Aberdeen.
Man, how that's gone
like,
down
to,
too,
to
by
be
the way.
Like, but my thing was, like I thought he could handle that.
My cat's right next to me. My cat's right next to me making weird noises in his sleep.
I thought it was the door opener.
No, that was a cat.
Oh.
No.
I was like, man, was a squeaky door.
No, it wasn't me.
but yeah, like I thought Denzel could handle that backup role, but I never thought like I had some concerns. I really did.
I still have
to take over.
Some about him. He's struggled lately. He's really struggled lately. Okay. No, he's really struggled. But I thought Lowe was. I won't go great. He missed some layups, but honestly, he's a point guard. I feel like most point guards are going to miss at the rim sometimes.
I think he knocked off a lot of that rust he had.
I think he did too, because in the second half, as the game kept going on, man, he started hitting the shots that we knew he was going to hit.
Yeah.
Same for Mo Diabate looked like he had missed a step. He looked awesome.
Gosh. I love how Pope the day before was like, yeah, he's a bit rusty. We'll see.
He had six steals.
That wasn't Russ.
Six steals. He was a defensive machine.
Yeah.
Marino, worst game he's played in Kentucky.
Do they feed off that? It's insane.
The energy
was
crazy.
It's insane
how
much they feed off him.
I think he's the leader of this team.
Yeah.
You
remember, you know me, I've always been on the Mo D train, and I'm just glad he's getting it together. Because honestly, the past few weeks hearing his slander, which honestly it's easy to attack him like that just because of the way the offense has been, but yeah, I mean, Lowe was so impactful for the offense side of things that I feel like when he's on the floor he'll take charge, but when he's off the floor, because we've seen it, they'll just pass it around the perimeter. looking for someone to make it
ISO ball,
do something.
ISO ball,
they're like, here, you make a play. And they won't move to make a play. They don't know what to do. And that's still concerning to me because, I mean, I don't know how you can play in 35 minutes every game. Because we've still got a whole ways.
Dude, I mean, we've done it before. Teams do it.
Yeah, we have to, but.
Teams do it.
Yeah. But do you remember, was it last year, the year before, they were talking about the guys were tired. Because, like, they had to carry a big load. That might have been. No, it wasn't severe. Or it might have been. But there was one year they really talked about that. And Cal was like, all on it, and you could tell
it been, would that not have been like Casey Wallace or someone like that?
It might have been, but
it was that year, I think. Yeah,
but yeah, like guys have such a big, so much on their plate that it just comes up, begins to be overwhelming.
No, that's fair.
Hope it doesn't get to that point, but that's a little concern I have.
That's fair as well. Yeah, I mean, yeah,
we can't afford too long of stretches without him on the floor.
That's kind of my main point, though. Like, I mean, it's going to kill us if we try to play these games with Aberdeen at the point guard too much.
Yeah.
We've seen what happens, and it's not good. I'd take the hand of accountability there, too. I said that the team could be fine with Aberdeen at the point guard. I was so wrong. I was so wrong about that.
I had concerns, but I didn't think it would get that bad. I didn't think it would get to a point where they can't even create at all.
They couldn't create anything.
No.
So.
No. Like, I thought Aberdeen would do an okay job with that, or he might just have to, you know, at least throw it to the basket and kick it out, but this team can't shoot right now, so there goes that. I still think it's wild that Pope said this team could be an elite shooting team, because it's like, it's practice numbers, and I don't really think a lot of that translates.
It doesn't. It never happened.
He was like, I've never been on a team where it doesn't translate.
And I'm like, really? Because I think most people have been.
It's wide open shots, and
you're standing set already when you take those shots.
You're about to go in the SEC, and this might be the point to kind of counter Pope's thing. You're about to go in the SEC where they're going to be all over that. You're going to play a bunch of teams that are all over that. And you're going to get to a point where it's like you play, you know, Tennessee, really physical on the perimeter. Georgia is one of the most physical this year. They've actually surprised me. Every time I look at stats, they're like in the top of defensive metrics on that. I hate to sound like Pope looking at numbers all the time, but like you're going to face teams that are all up on you and athletic and are gonna play zone, even like zone is probably the best way to go about that. And you're gonna play teams that are gonna be all over you and try to force you to shoot, and you're gonna have to make it. But you got guys like Trent Noah and Cam Williams that haven't been making it. And I've never thought, by the way, speaking of shooting, I've never thought Colin Chandler was that type of shooter. I was kind of surprised that people were saying that.
Eddie's got.
I've always thought him as like an athletic guy. First,
right? That. No, it's fair. Do I sound okay? By the way, okay. I had to pretty much just take the mic off its stand because it was getting too annoying, and I wanted to sit back on this couch. Colin Chandler's gone cold. Very cold. I thought you could be okay with him as your main guy. I changed my mind. You can't. Otega Owe, still, he is what he is this year. There's no change in what he is.
It's effort with him.
It is. It's entirely effort. And he knows that. And that's annoying. It's really annoying.
I think he turned it around.
Malachi Marino is a little bit ahead of where I thought he was, but I can confirm that I was right because he's raw. I had seen him so much in high school. I knew he was going to be raw. Because he relied a lot on his height. against his competition, and when he plays these taller guys, he does struggle, and he can't take the heat on the fouls either. Brandon Garrison, like I said, he needs to be coached up. And honestly, when he got coached up, and when he was feeling the intensity from the coaching staff and from Mark Pope, that was when he was at his best.
Yeah.
Jalen Lowe is just rust, but he's fine. He's going to be good. He's really good.
He's literally the focal point of this.
He got better offense throughout the game. As he got better throughout the game, the team got better throughout the game.
Yep. And he also, literally, by the way, he only played 9 minutes in the first half.
Which was a disaster.
16 in the second half.
More, 16. Yeah. So he would have played what? He still played like 25 minutes in that game. And then Cam Williams, we need him to do more than just try to chuck up threes, because I don't think that shot's coming back. Dre Yelovich, probably going to be sitting down a lot from here on out. Trent Noah, probably going to be sitting down a lot from here on out. And Jasper Johnson, probably going to be sitting down a lot from here on out. I don't think any of those three guys are going to be playing as much anymore.
So
Jasper Johnson especially won't.
It comes down to, like, where are you getting the shooting from?
I mean, well, I think it's just going to have to be from – Lowe can knock one down a game probably. Lowe, always good for an open one a game. Really, it's just going to be sporadic where you get it from. You're probably just going to have to hope Colin Chandler gets hot again, which I think he will.
Do you think, like, the back end of that rotation will kind of be like a mix and match depending on the matchups?
Yeah, like, because Mark Pope will not get out of his own way when it comes to analytics. It's going to kill him still. I think there's going to be games where it's going to kill him.
Yeah. I still think that, you know, filling out process at the beginning of the game is going to hurt him a lot.
I don't know that
he does that a lot.
I don't know what's going to happen when Quaintons is back. I kind of expect now that Marino's going to lose his minutes. If Garrison keeps his intensity going, if he can just keep up with what the Indiana game was like and just be the rim protector that he was, he's probably going to save face a little bit there, but Quaintons will start. I mean, Marino and Garrison were never going to start over Quaintons. When he's back fully in the rotation here in about 3 or 4 weeks, Quaintons will start. And honestly, he's going to probably play 2-minute spurts whenever it is. If he's back St. John's, like it sounds like he could be, he'll play like 2-minute spurts, and then you'll have it right there. And he's defensively focused too, so that's going to be a huge deal. And he's a lob threat, yeah. And I think that's going to be really good for Jalen Lowe. That connection I'm really excited for.
Yeah, I mean, he's explosive. Like, he can run the floor pretty good. He can handle the ball. Like, he's everything you want in a big.
He can't shoot.
No, he can't.
And he's not a good shooter.
Don't make him shoot.
He needs to be a guy. He's not great with his back to the basket. He does struggle with his back to the basket, but he needs to be your lob threat. He needs to be a rim protector, and he's a good rebounder.
Screen and roll can be a killer with him.
I have seen him struggle with physicality before, though. He does struggle a little bit with physicality. I'd like to see if that's changed.
That'll come.
I'd like to see if that's changed.
He's got the frame. He's got the frame for it.
But it's another thing. I don't know how, you know, Bobby Hurley's an intense coach. Mark Pope is the anti Bobby Hurley. You know, the Hurley family is notoriously crazy. So I think he could be a guy that just doesn't respond to that kind of thing. But he could also be like Brandon Garrison, where if, you know, the intensity of the game's right, then yeah, sure. And practicing against Mo Diabate, I feel like, is a good thing, because he's injured like three of our players now. So, you know,
yeah,
could work, including himself. So four.
Yeah, like, I mean, you've got all the bodies down there, and honestly, I've always thought Marino's minutes will be cut when Quaintons comes back. Just because
I thought, if you told me last week,
still raw.
If you asked me last week, I thought it was going to be Garrison, just because, I mean, it was a disaster with Garrison.
Yeah,
if he can respond,
I think it might have been Rob Doster saying this. Don't. Quote me on that, but like he said something along the line. One of those Philly 68 guys said something along the lines of maybe he should be cut from the team.
Be cut from the team. Yeah, I heard that.
This is like 2 weeks ago.
John said that on the podcast last week.
Yeah.
If you remember.
Yeah.
John got on here and said that it's time to start looking at cutting people. I don't agree with that, but that is what he said.
I don't either. Because, I mean,
I think cutting people.
You would have never. you would have never put a fire under his ass and got him going.
I just think, and I think cutting people in general should be reserved for like disciplinary action nowadays. I don't think that like,
if it's effort wise, you can change that.
Yeah, you can chew somebody out. Threaten to cut them. And at the end of the year, if it doesn't change, just tell them you don't have a spot on this team, transfer. You know, that's happened for 50 years, you know? Mm-hmm. So either way, I think that was a big win against Indiana, though. Season changing? I don't know. We'll see. St. John's, though. Sorry, go ahead.
I think that win could be the turning point, but again, it comes back to their quality. They don't really have – they haven't really got tested, and when they have, that, you know, that score says they only lost to Louisville by like 8. But I watched that whole game.
They lost by 30 is what it felt like. Yeah.
Yeah. That score did not do it.
Michigan State and Gonzaga, obviously, they got run off the court. And honestly, North Carolina lost by 3. Felt like they were down 10 the whole game. Yeah. Including when they were up, it felt like they were down 10.
And then Indiana lost at Minnesota. So they got some things to work out. Because I do think coming into that game, I thought both of us were in the same boat. I thought they had a lot to prove. We had a lot to prove. Something had to give. And we finally showed up and fed off the crowd.
All right, we're at 40 minutes. We can be a little brief about this, but real quick before we go, did you watch the – we're going to be nervous for a second. Did you watch the John Cena's last match?
Yeah. Yep.
Did you get around to it?
Yeah, I skipped to the end.
I did too. I did not care about anything else that happened on that pay-per-view. Pay-per-view was on TV. What'd you think? What'd you think about the way that ended?
Terrible finish. Terrible finish. Why do that?
For people who don't know, they had him tap. He tapped out. Yeah. It was like the first time he's ever tapped out.
It's a whole, you spend 25 years. 23
never
years.
Give up.
Yeah. Don't tap. Never. He's never tapped. And then his last match, he taps. And it's like all that for nothing. And I honestly take that view. It was all of that just down the drain, what it felt like in a matter of seconds.
It made him look really stupid. It made him look really stupid and weak. Honestly,
not him. That's not what it's supposed to be.
I think they've pissed on money the whole year anyway with this whole thing where they had him turn heel and all that stuff. Yeah, I thought that was stupid.
My brother thinks it's the Royal Rumble, but for him, that's when he kind of saw all this coming to a shithole. But I thought it was the heel turn for me.
Was when it was ruined. I didn't really care about the Rumble. Yeah. I don't like Jey Uso.
It was weird because they didn't do anything with that heel turn. They had so much stuff to do with that.
And they built it all around The Rock, and The Rock is a crazy person. Like in real life, he seems like an absolutely
The Rock sold up
stupid
for what?
Person.
Yeah, not long at all.
So yeah, if you're listening to The Rock, if you're listening to Dwayne, we're calling you out.
Yeah, if he's listening, I'd like to. Yeah.
Who's a famous person that if they listen to this podcast, you'd be the most shocked by? He's up there.
Yeah, he is. My gosh, there could be all kinds of people.
We don't
probably be somebody out of sports, though.
Considering the fact that most people who listen to this are in like Western Kentucky.
Yeah.
I'll be open about what our demographic is. It's pretty much Western Kentucky and Lexington. So shout out to Western Kentucky and Lexington.
Shout out. I don't really know, it has to be somebody out of sports, right? That would be the most shocking.
I don't know. It'd be like some UK guy, right? I don't know. I'd love to see who it is. I'd love to see who it is. I know like I don't want to count like people in media because I already know people in sports media that do listen, but like still. So hello. Don't forget to never hire me, apparently, probably. So, you know. I'm sure I'm on some shit list somewhere.
If you are, I will take up for you.
University of Kentucky Athletics has never hired me, let's be honest.
I go to bat for you anything.
Yeah, but University of Kentucky Athletics would never hire me.
Not bad. That'd
be pretty rough, wouldn't it? Be a little hard to get a job.
I can't help you with that. Yeah.
No. Let's not forget about that with that. We spent about a year and a half calling for a football head coach to get fired. You and I did.
I mean, if they got a problem with it, do something.
Okay, let's talk about this. Fine, let's talk about it.
They finally fired him, so Yeah.
Let's talk about it. Who cares about St. John's, right? I mean, we do, but at the same time, like, what do we say that's not going to be said?
It's Patino and Pope. That's the main thing.
That's all.
Really all it is.
What am I going to say that's not going to be said in a thousand different ways and a thousand different songs to a thousand different rhythms? I mean, like, you know. Yeah. So, JMI Media. Let's go on. Let's just do a tell-all here.
Oh my gosh, we haven't talked about this.
So, that bombshell article came out by KSR, right? Jacob Polichick, Jack Pilgrim.
Yeah.
Cool, right? Cool. I didn't know anything about the deal. You and I have not known anything about the deal. We're not anything like that. We're not investigative journalists. Well, you're a journalist. I'm not an investigative journalist. So, no incentive.
My investigative roots don't go that deep. So, yeah, shout out to those two.
Yeah, incredible work there, by the way.
Jacob knows everybody in the world, so he was the perfect guy to go to.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I mean, you and I have known him for...
That man is plugged in.
You and I have known him for a little bit.
Yeah.
Good work on him, but also in character. So, JMI. JMI supposedly asking these players to sign away their NIL rights. I don't want to go into too much about what's in that because it's KSR. We're not KSR. So, I don't want to just get on here and keep people from clicking on there. So, go read it. At the same time, shameless plug. At the same time, though, what'd you think about the interview for Mitch Barnhart?
I thought it was a waste of time. It was weird.
I am mixed on it. So, let me start with this. First of all, Tom Leach, this is no way a shot at Tom Leach. He did his job. People going after Tom Leach were, I think, A, stupid, and B, stupid. You know, I mean, there's just no other way to put it. I mean, like, he did his job.
Yeah, like, why would he say anything different than what he was
Why would he, yeah. Like,
or what he.
He's asking Mitch Barnhart about the company that signs his paycheck. Do you want him to get up there and just talk about how terrible JMI is? No, the same way that you wouldn't get up there.
Go ahead.
The same way that you would never, if I were interviewing you, the same way you would never get up there and talk about how horrible Sports Illustrated is if you hate it.
Yeah.
Right. You would never do that because you would get fired. Tom Leach would get fired. So, like,
we don't want that. We love Tom Leach.
And we love Sports Illustrated. Sports Illustrated, number one, right, Wyatt? They're great. Go listen to them. I'm not being sarcastic either. But either way, I thought it was weird to do it like that. I think the biggest mistake they made is that he did not go on some third-party media to do that interview. I think Tom Leach was not the person that needed to be doing that. It's, again, not as much Tom Leach as it is the idea that UK Sports Network, because UK Sports Network is just propaganda. It's been propaganda for 30 years, or however long that JMI has been running it. So however long I've been alive. I thought that was a big waste of time as well. I think, and I don't like the fact, and I'm going to say it, you don't have to say anything else. I don't like the fact that the communications and media director of UK is getting on Twitter and going after random journalists about media availability of Mitch Barnhart. I don't get credentialed. So if you're listening, you don't have to credential me. We're good. You've already told me you're not going too many times. I accept that answer now. I don't think that's a good idea. I thought that was the worst look of everything that happened this week.
I did too. If I'm able to jump in real quick, like,
go ahead.
I did too.
I don't want you to get in deep trouble.
No. I thought that was weird.
Because you got to work with these people.
Because all of the media availabilities he's done up to that point were all like hidden. It was like, hey, we got a Club Blue meeting, blah blah blah.
The Board of Trustees or Board of Regents meeting then, is what they were talking about too.
But then you could interview Mitch Barnhart for like 5 minutes. That's where half of those come from. We want real interviews, and it's hard to get those. Besides, and I guess that's where he got fed up so much. But my thing with the Saturday's interview was like, he said they have no incentive to handicap us on deals.
Yeah, I didn't get that.
Because it would, you know, it's ultimately on them. But I'm like, why?
There's all sorts of incentive to that for them.
I don't know about you, but I don't remember hearing why. Still don't remember hearing why. He just made statements without putting more into it.
Well, I mean, it was in character for him. And there is incentive for that, by the way. It's so that the JMI companies and that their partners and sponsors and all that would be able to profit and reap more gain off of the athletics department.
Mm.
Now, I'm not as deep in the rabbit hole as some people are with the JMI. Like, oh, look, the associate athletic director's married to blah, blah, blah. Look, okay, that is true. That is true. But it does. She's not married to the CEO, you know, some guy in marketing. Who cares, right? It's not affecting everything. And if it is, guess what? We're all going to die one day. And so go eat a cheeseburger or something and calm down. But at the end of the day, I think the JMI thing is weird. I think we're too involved with them. I have a good feeling that if certain requests do follow through, we're going to hate what's in there. There's going to be some language in there that I'm going to be interested in that I think is going to be horrible. And I'm pretty worried about the way the program's being run. Pretty shocked. I was really shocked by the stuff that came out about Mark Pope, specifically as far as his negotiation stuff. But, I mean, yeah. It had been kind of whispered before that he struggled at recruiting.
It had. Like I think a lot of it, like, even in pressers, he would be like, we're not going to get in bidding wars. And we all kind of, like, raised
our eyebrows. He actively said, over this offseason, they were leaving the table for players. I don't think you want to be saying that in public.
Yeah, no.
I just don't feel like you should be publicly saying, we don't do bidding wars, blah, blah,
this
blah,
day
blah.
And age, this day and age, if you want to get the elite recruits, you're going to have to get in those. You can't just be like, oh, man, we're not going to give you that. That's offensive. You should play here for the name on the front of your jersey and nothing else.
Why
go somewhere else.
And that's another big thing to me. Why did we ever go away from the pro thing? Now, you don't have to lean into it to the extent Cal was, but don't act like it didn't happen. Don't act like that Tyrese Maxey didn't play here.
I feel like he has totally abandoned that. And all he thinks about is the
not
name
just
on
that.
Front of a jersey.
What he's done with doing that is that he's alienated an entire reason that people have come to play basketball here.
Yeah.
Because it was on a big stage, and such a big stage that they could live their dreams out.
Yep.
National title is one of those dreams.
Well, why do you think Cal got so many top recruits? Because that was a big selling point.
And he's not getting, I mean, he's got the guys at Arkansas, don't get me wrong, but he's not getting them to the same extent that he was here.
You know who is going to make that selling point and has a big stage in college basketball? Kansas. And look at the post they're making.
And they've got Darren Peterson. Duke's doing the same thing. They're getting the Boozers. Yeah. They got Cooper Flagg last year. Con Knipples in the NBA tearing it up. Molly Watch. Come on, Molly Watch. Whatever his name was. Yeah. Last year, the big guy. And next year, they got a good class coming in. So, overall.
Oh, and by the way, if you want to, I'll go ahead and finish your point, and I'll bring this up after you finish.
Overall, though. I can't tell you how concerned I am by the way the athletics department in general is run. I'm not an administrator. I'm never going to be. Again, never going to get hired by them now because of this podcast. They're going to hear an episode of this and be like, well, we're done with that. But still, you can't help but worry about how it's run. And on a personal note, aside from things, so JMI, I don't know how they do media. Let's talk about them, right? You want to talk about it in a way that won't get anybody in trouble. That won't get anybody in trouble. Never had, I gotta say, I have never had terrible run-ins with them by necessarily. I've only had a few interactions. One time specifically stands out. I've told you about it. We talked to back in the day when I was working with the other guy, right? I don't want to put him on the spot either because I don't want anybody getting in trouble. We talked to a player's dad, like interview. Interviewed a player's dad on the football team. I don't want to say who. You can go back and listen. Just talking about Kentucky or whatever. I'll be honest, didn't love the idea when we did it. The player's dad's not as compelling as a player, but I was like, hey, let's do it, whatever. And there were obviously positives to it. We were then sent by JMI. I won't say it was a cease and desist, but we were told we could not post that episode without the verbal, formal consent of JMI and athletics. a player's dad. They claimed, they claimed intellectual ownership over the player's dad. That's... Not the player, the player's dad.
Yeah.
We were told yes, eventually. But we had to run that through JMI.
Gosh, yeah.
So you want to know how much that things are being micromanaged here. And this is a true story. If they want to come at me and say that that's not true, well, I'll prove it. I'll send an email to whoever, right? You know, I'm just trying to be careful here. I don't want to get sued. I don't want you to get sued. But still, that is how they run things. And aside from that, I've applied for media credentials in the past, not just through this, but through other forms and other stuff I've done. They've a lot of talk about how behind they are on stuff. I've wanted to do digital work a lot. We've done digital work. You know how I've done this stuff. I don't claim Nolan Fleming, the media entity, but at the same time, this podcast isn't like, we're not like Kentucky Sports Radio. We're not huge. We're not, we're up to no good levels, but we do all right. We do all right. The one I was on previously did all right and was under the umbrella actively of another media company, another Kentucky media organization. Shout out Tristan. And I put in, not through KY Insider, but through myself for this, a request to do some sort of like media, like digital work or like interviews, whatnot, with players or with coaches, not just for football or basketball, with freaking softball, with volleyball, with baseball, with aquatics even. I was told each of those times, we do not credential podcast. We do only credential traditional media. Hey, can I give a breaking news to everybody?
Yeah, I was about to say, ask what qualifies as traditional media.
It's 2025. Walter Cronkite hasn't been the way people got their news in a long time. Not just because A, he's dead. B, CBS News doesn't get 125 bajillion people just to find out what's going on in the world. I mean, come on. You know what I mean? And I sound selfish saying this. I know I do, and I probably am. But that's what we're talking about with micromanaging stuff, what we're talking about with how the media stuff is run. Yes, I would gain personal benefit out of it. And yes, I'd gain personal happiness out of it. I'd love to do stuff with it. Fact of the matter is, probably not going to happen, right? And probably not going to happen now. I've definitely burned that bridge.
No, you haven't.
So
you haven't. I mean, I have to be careful, but I mean, there's a lot of people, no offense to these people, but I see a bunch of people up there. Happens with football more than basketball, because basketball, it's harder to get in for others. But with football, there are like weird media outlets that get in. And I'm like, how do they get in?
I'm not even talking about
so-and-so can't get in. But also, there's a lot of open spots. There's like people that don't show up.
I'm not even talking
especially
about...
Especially for stinky games.
But I'm not even talking about credentials for a game. I'm talking about interview requests.
Yeah. Now, that's even weirder.
Like...
That's even weirder.
You know?
Because I don't get... It's a podcast. It's a platform to put it on. It's
we go live.
Probably a better platform than writing.
Every episode we do, if you combine it, we get lots of people with you. If you combine the numbers of live, if you combine the numbers of podcasts, if you combine it all, we get hundreds of people on this to listen. Sometimes thousands.
Yeah,
we've gotten thousands.
I was about to say thousands. Last week was huge.
Last week was a big one. Will Stein one, we literally broke like 2,000 people.
And we don't even have YouTube.
We don't even do YouTube. No, it's we do Twitter. And guess what? You want to know how broke we are? You want to know how broke I am and how broke you are? We can't afford Twitter Blue for the Breaking Blue one, so we have to do it on mine. On my Twitter.
Yeah.
Which just now broke 900 followers, and we're still getting like 2,000 people. So, and the Facebook has been a great thing for us, by the way. I love the fact that we've been able to put that together.
I mean, and back to your point about the interviews, like, you had to go through a bunch of hoops to get in touch with anybody. And it's so weird. It's so weird. And I know KSR has even talked about this. Like Matt Jones has talked about it. You had to go through so much hoops, so many hoops to get somebody on, and especially for people like KSR, like, what platform is better than that?
A player's dad.
Like, that's bad. You can't claim ownership like that. Now, for a player, whatever, but a player's dad should be able to do his own thing.
Look, and again, I didn't agree with the idea when we did it. I thought it was, I think of that guy highly, but like, I didn't love the idea when we did it. I thought it was a little weird, but still, the idea that there was that many hoops to jump through for that is stupid. And
It's silly. You got to talk to this person, to talk to that person, talk to that person.
We're not traditional media, so we can't do an interview. And there's other podcasts I know that do interviews.
What does classify as that?
That's what I'm trying to figure out here. That's my question.
Is it
what
radio
is
but
media?
Not podcast? Because I see
there's other podcasts. Kenny Brooks goes
see
on
radio
with
people.
Let's like here, podcast. Like here on a personal level for you especially. Phoenix Stevens, KSR actively gets Kenny Brooks on the memorial memo. Right, he's been on there with him a number of times. What's the big deal there?
I didn't think about that.
Probably that they're KSR. I mean, that helps, but I mean, it's not that simple. You know what I mean?
Actually, don't know. Actually, maybe.
Yeah. Either way,
I don't know. I think it's weird.
That deep into
weird. Now, I think interviews you could probably pull off more than credentials being a podcast, but I still think the interview part of it. I don't know how he handled it, or the one you said you worked with. I don't know how exactly he handled it, but it is weird.
It was pretty seamless, I will admit. After that, the first part of it was rough. And I was like, look, man, this wasn't my idea, but like still.
That's weird.
But still, again, just trying to think of what to say here real quick. They don't want to get in trouble. But as far as like credentials for individual games, I haven't really done that much. I think I've done it. I've put in for them twice, and I was again told, and we do not credential podcast. Fine, fair play. I do understand that one a little bit more. What am I going to do? Especially after the other podcast, like I said, was under the umbrella of someone, but still.
Yeah.
We're not under the umbrella of anybody. I do understand that. I do understand that one quite a bit, actually. I wouldn't credential me either. That was more for funsies. But
And we've talked about this. I don't think either of us really want to be under the umbrella of like
not SI particularly. Anybody.
Just because you just have more freedom and less oversight.
I never thought on the other one that I was being filtered. I never thought I was being filtered.
Yeah.
But you do got to be careful because you don't want the brand getting hurt. You don't want the company getting hurt. And we really weren't under their umbrella for a long time. We were maybe for like a month. And then that folded. It just stopped. It just didn't work out. Various reasons, mainly related to me being in school and just my schedule just being hectic. But I still think highly of Tristan. I still think highly of Chris. So,
Tristan's my former boss, so I mean, obviously,
yeah,
I've always thought highly of him, like
kind of sort of mine too, I guess, but still,
yeah, he's a big reason how I got started.
Yeah, you and I have had very different paths, but still, it's kind of crazy sitting here on recording talking about that. I don't know how the hell I ended up where I am right now, but I have, No, I mean, like, literally, how am I in this living room? but still, like, I never felt filtered there, but that can very much happen in places. I don't know if that would happen with SI. I don't necessarily know about that.
I don't know either. I don't think it would. But
I don't think it would by any means, but there are definitely certain people who would probably tell you,
like,
hey, man.
Even my boss has his own podcast on YouTube, Wildcats Today. Like, that's under the umbrella.
Yeah, see, and that's a good thing. That's healthy.
Yeah.
Because it allows for discourse. It allows for rhetoric.
It doesn't really need to be. Yeah.
And with it, if it were under the umbrella of someone, that's not going to be encouraged nearly as much. You're not going to get as much raw emotion out of it. You're not going to get as much raw information and stuff like that. Although we're not very informative on like the inside stuff. you will get the real me and you will get the real you. If I were under an umbrella of stuff, I wouldn't be able to tell you about the JMI experiences I've had. Wouldn't either. So, heck, I would have been fired already probably had I done this under the umbrella of someone. Not being funny either. I think I would be fired by a number of people for that. Crazy. But that's a risk I'm willing to take. And Breaking Blue is not an official web page or anything like that. So, And that's good.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
I like the way things are going. That's just me. Our listeners like the way things are going, apparently. They keep listening. We keep getting all these people on live. Sorry, we're not live tonight, but still.
I've told you this a long, long time ago, but I love doing this. I look forward to every Monday night we do this. Like, makes my Mondays better. Mondays are known for it to be a bad day. I didn't have a bad day today, but I mean,
we're Mondays on vacation now. Yeah, I can graduate.
Yeah, Mondays are widely known to be a bad day for everybody. But right. Yeah, this one writes it.
And I think, I think back to like the things that have led me to. Led us to Breaking Blue. Like, first of all, literally, I mean, we've talked about it a little bit before. Literally, how me and you started doing this is I randomly called you on one night and said, "Hey, man, what would you think about doing a Kentucky podcast?" Because I had wanted, we had talked briefly about it before in the past, like a long time ago, about wanting to do something together. And I was like, "Hey, man, what about now?" and then we said that and then waited 4 months before we actually did anything. Because I was working for the summer and you were too. And so, that should show you if you do want to do a podcast, just do it. Just get your laptop and do it. But either way, we're still not to our full potential, I'm sure. We could still be a lot bigger and a lot better than we are. But things like that. If we were under an umbrella, though, my point is, if we were like JMI, blah, 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 it would have taken a year. It would have taken a year for us to get anything off the ground. So that being said, I'm glad with what we're doing.
What was I going to say? It was like 20 minutes ago. I was going to say some kind of like recruiting intel.
No, go ahead. We got time.
Yeah, I mean, we are over an hour in. I feel bad like bringing it up.
Just say what you're going to say and then we'll finish it off.
But it goes along with the JMI stuff and the concerns about closing the deal and recruiting. I mean, with the NIL, like you got to think about who Kristen Collins is going up against. Like, That's USC, who's, I don't know, known to not be afraid to throw dollars at the top recruit. Eric Musselman is going to do whatever he can to get Kristen Collins. And the longer this goes on, the worse it is for Kentucky. They're falling behind because they can't close the deal. But you got the school like USC who's like, yeah, we'll throw this at you. And Kentucky's like, I don't know yet. I don't know about it. Like that. I bet you that's what they're telling them.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and that's a big reason why his commitment's been delayed. So now he's rethinking that decision.
Well, like, Mark Pope's gonna have to get one of those two because his name has been smeared.
One of what two? Stokes and
Stokes Collins? And Collins is what I mean. If not both, he really needs both, but, you know.
I'm worried about Kansas with Stokes.
I'm officially in the boat of we're probably not going to get him.
Yeah, I mean, this is the longer that drags on, the longer both of these drag on, the worse. Like, I was told, like, sometime early January for Stokes, but now I don't know right now because apparently they can't close the deal. And that's what's been the holdup with Collins, at least.
Yeah, we're going to see, though. We're going to find out with that. We're going to find out with his JMI stuff. We're going to find out with the...
And then there's Holt, who I don't think it... I think Holt's the outlier in this. I think that could be turned around because I don't think he really factors in the NIL as much as Fit. And they've told me that. His dad and... You know, people around him have told me that they value Fit more than the money. And I respect that.
Yeah, and again, like some people, this is stereotyping. A lot of people have stereotyped it, like what an athlete looks for when they come in. And a lot of people have stereotyped where a lot of athletes come from. And that's for various reasons that we could get into, but I'm not willing to go down that rabbit hole. Like the idea that they pull themselves up by their bootstraps and they got to work so hard to get out to like gain like to other levels of like wealth and stuff. And the reality is most of these guys are fine. Most of them are fine. They went to private academies for a reason.
Yeah.
That is the reality of it. I mean, there are instances where that is true. There are instances where that is true. I mean, the most famous one that was here, probably Bam Adebayo, right? Bam Adebayo for sure. But they went to prep schools for a reason. A lot of them did. And if they weren't okay, they wouldn't be at IMG. They wouldn't be at Mount Verde. So,
yeah. 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 And I think
you should look at the tuition rates for IMG, by the way.
Yeah. I think a lot of these top guys, they're just trying to find the stepping stone. When it's all said and done, they're trying to find that stepping stone in the mm-hmm. NBA. They know they're not going to be here for 2 years. And you got a coach preaching name across the jersey, not giving you a clear picture of what the NIL is going to look like.
Yeah.
Like that, they think they deserve a lot of money. And if you're not telling them up front, that hurts you.
Yeah.
If you can't close the deal and you get offended by someone wanting more money, that's
first of all, you're 53 years old, be a man. Second of all, that's just how negotiations work.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think I've heard people make this point even before the KSR article. Like, he hasn't really got to deal with this. They didn't really deal with this at BYU.
No,
they've always been limited with recruiting.
I don't know how much I believe that anymore.
Well, even though they got AJ DeBanza, they've never had anything like they have now. You have to jump through extra hoops to get your deal signed at Kentucky. Not many other schools are doing that. And Mitch Barnhart can say it all he wants that it's not a one-size-fits-all, but maybe it is.
Well, he's been asked that question 19 times.
And if you're going to be the one innovating to be the next, like, everybody's going to follow this, it's not off to a good start.
I'm going to leave it at that. I feel like that's a good way to end this podcast.
Yeah, I mean,
it's I'm gonna have off to click, start. Says I'm going to have to click the end session for all for this to actually finish recording. So sorry about that. I don't know why that's doing that on my end. But either way, pretty good episode. Tell all, a little, not really a tell all. I mean, nothing really new, but still just personal experience. Wyatt, Merry Christmas. I'm sure will be our last Merry one for the break.
Merry Christmas and happy graduation for you.
Yeah, well, thank you. Happy New Year to our listeners. Merry Christmas to our listeners. We'll be back live before too long. We always do this. We're going to take a break. Probably until the new year.
Everybody needs to recharge. There's an 11-day break between Bellarmine and the start of SEC play, so that sounds like a perfect time.
We'll watch St. John's. We'll all be happy privately. I could tweet about it, and that'd be about it. And we'll come back in January at the latest. Probably by the time SEC plays back, we'll be back, and we'll be live, and we'll be talking all this stuff. Unless something crazy happens, then we will probably do an emergency podcast, or you'll hear from me at the very least. Other than that, watch the games, but don't let them dictate your emotions. It's Christmas. Enjoy it however you enjoy it, but I can't tell you how to fan. If it pisses you off, it pisses you off. If you break shit, you break shit. So don't, in the words of Kevin Hale of Round of Shots, don't kick your dog. So for Mr. Wildcat Wave himself, at Wildcat_Wave, he's been Wyatt Huff. I'm Nolan Fleming, at NolanUKY27. Follow Breaking Blue at Breaking Blue Pod on Twitter or X, whatever the hell you want to call it. Follow Breaking Blue Kentucky Podcast on Facebook. Subscribe to us on podcast, Spotify, anywhere you get your podcasts. Smash that like button, smash the bell, get notifications every time an upload's made and as we hit the road to 1 million subscribers, right? We'll see you next time. See you in January. Happy New Year. So long, 2025. I'm sure by the time we record this, we'll see you in 2026. Goodbye.